I'm Connor McDavid from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on 630 CHED.
Patrick Laine has scored. Blue Jackets lead the Jets 2-0. 5 minutes left in the first. Start of the second period. Preds up 1-0 on the Islanders. 6 minutes left in the second period. Senators and Rangers in a 1-1 tie. Raptors trailing Brooklyn 67-31. That's a lot with 5:21 left in the second quarter. Our off-topic topic tonight, and I believe we have a pretty good response coming in through text, so we'll have to get to more of these later on. We'll weave them in throughout the rest of the show. I have a couple here. Cowtown Bob says, "Hi, Reed. Most annoying fan base in North American sports is by far the Toronto Maple Leafs. Their team's management and ownership over the years have consistently pulled off amazingly bad plays, poor trades, and awful business decisions that have led to the team missing the playoffs outright or choking when they should have won. There is only one word to describe why this ineptness continues: stupidity. I don't like stupid people, therefore I don't like Toronto Maple Leafs fans." I wish Cowtown Bob could have provided a little more clarity in his text, but I think I get what he's saying. And James, I think this is the James that usually writes in, but he said, and I think James cheers for the Oilers. He says, maybe he doesn't. He says, "Easily the most annoying are Oilers fans. Haven't won anything for more than 30 years, but seem to think they are entitled to the Stanley Cup every year." Now, James isn't done. He also doesn't like Calgary Stampeders fans, and he says he also doesn't like Saskatchewan Roughriders fans, but I'm jealous of their passion as a fan base. All right. Well, I figure this might get some interesting responses. A man who has never been described as annoying is Sportsnet's Jeff Merrick.
Oh,
hi, Jeff.
Oh, that's not true. Reed.
Well, not by me.
Oh, hang on. We got Jacob Trouba and Brady Tkachuk fighting at center ice at Madison Square Garden right now. This has been a pretty good game here after Tim Stützle tied things up. This one's good, Reed. Like, these guys are not like hugging and tugging and seatbelting. They're reaching back and throwing. Wow. I'm sorry we need to do the play-by-play during your show here, but we got a doozy of a fight at MSG, right? They go to the ice. That was a good one.
I'm glad you brought it up, because I'm not getting any of these NHL games tonight on our package here out in Northern Alberta. I got this Raptors game, which is pretty much over already, late in the first half.
This is a captain-on-captain fight. Oh, and then Brady Tkachuk stares down the Ranger bench. Oh, this is an old-school Reed. This is from the school they burned down to build the old-school Reed.
This is the second half of home and home, is it not?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll tell you what. You know what, Mike? Who is that guy that had the rant on the Maple Leafs? Something Bob?
Bob? Cowtown Bob, who is a regular listener and participant on the text line in the program.
Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I love it. You know what would be really intriguing? If I could submit, not that I'm telling you how to run your show here, Reed, I swear I'd never do that. Let me offer something to you as a friend and a fan.
Okay.
You know what I'd be really curious about? Because I'm listening to you read these from the text line, and I'm thinking, you know, it's easy to grouse about other people's fan bases, and I get it. There are plenty that are annoying, and it all depends on where you are at that moment.
Sure.
But you know what would be interesting? How about this one? Outside of your own, who has the best fan base?
That's a great question. You know what, Jeff?
I think. Do you actually like?
Well, I think I'd. Okay, not to, that is a good idea, and I probably will steal that someday. But I think in this part of the world, I don't think the answer in your part of the world would be the same. I think in this part of the world, and James, the other texter, mentioned it, it would be Rider Nation.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. I'm just thinking like sport, like hockey, because I mean, you know, I mean, everything is like filtered through the
fair
hockey
enough.
Lens. Like outside of the Oilers fans, for Edmonton Oilers fans, outside of your own fan base, who do you envy or who do you enjoy? Who has the best fan base other than your own? Because I would submit that everybody hates everybody else's fan base. Varying degrees of annoyance.
I
understand that everybody hates Maple Leafs. I totally get that.
But you're right. But I also see when I do topics like that on the show, I also give people homework. They have to say why. Like, I'm like a grade five language arts teacher. You have to say why. And that's usually where the humor comes in, right? Because I'm like, don't just text in Winnipeg, Toronto. Like, put something behind it. But that's fair. And I thought, you know, the jumping off point for me is obviously the Canadians are here tomorrow. And some people love the chanting back and forth, and some people hate the Go Habs Go. And if you're an Oilers season ticket holder, why did you give your tickets to a Montreal fan for that game and all that kind of stuff? So but I think that was my jumping off point. But your topic is a good one as well. So I will give you almost full credit for it.
I hope. What do they say? Reed, greatness borrows, but genius steals. Please, my friend, be a genius and steal that one.
Yeah, well, that is a good one. It is fun, and I know it's a bit of a trolling topic I'm throwing out there tonight. But again,
the humor comes
from you got to ask why. You don't just want a lot of one word answers on the text line. And those were pretty good ones coming in there. How's life, by the way? You come on two or three times a year. I know you're really busy. I love having you on. You doing okay?
Yeah, man. Everything's good. The kids are happy and healthy. You know, I keep fooling my wife every day. She still thinks that I'm, you know, mildly, you know, amusing or worth hanging around for. So, hey, things are pretty good in my little corner of the world here in Stouffville, Ontario.
The mildly amusing Jeff Barrick. Well, that's pretty good.
Rising to new depths and sinking to new heights. The mildly amusing Jeff Merrick.
well, you're always full of wisdom when you hop on the show. I was talking about Jack Campbell, of course, in my first half hour here. Sure. I'm just going to quickly give you these. Okay. So 62 goalies have played enough to qualify for the goalie leaderboard, right? Yep. Campbell's 60th in save percentage and 60th in goals against average. So to this point, he's performing like a bottom-end backup goalie, if you want to look at it that way. I heard what Elliott said to you, and he said similar things to Stoff earlier today.
Yep.
I don't know if they're going to go the waiver send down thing. I think you just got to play him as much as you can. If Skinner, you know, needs a break or has an off night, and you hope he gets better. How do you probably know him a little better from his days in Toronto. What do you think?
I know him a little bit from junior hockey when he played in the Sioux, and I know him a little bit from Toronto when he was playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. I find it really hard to watch Jack Campbell, and I'm not saying I find it really hard to watch him play, although my people might say, like, well, yeah, he is hard to watch play. I'm talking about, it's hard to watch a human being go through this. And we've had a lot of this week. We had Igor Shesterkin throw everything on himself after that Devils loss. We saw Jacob Markstrom yesterday after a loss against the Montreal Canadiens in a game that, you know, face it, the Calgary Flames should have won that game. What was the final shot? It's like 46-19, something like that, really. Like, and he just absorbed everything. You know, I'm bad at hockey right now, or I suck at hockey right now. And Jack Campbell has been doing this for far too long. Like, the one thing with Jack Campbell is he internalizes things and beats himself up on a constant basis. Some may look at that and say he's making himself accountable to himself by realizing that he needs to be better. Well, others will look at that and say, man, he's not doing himself any favors. Like, I like goalies. Like, put it this way. If I'm a coach in the NHL, I want my goalies to be like Carey Price in one very specific way. One of the great things about Carey Price after a game, Reed, you couldn't tell if he won or lost the game because the highs weren't high and the lows weren't low. He didn't get too much in the celebration, and he didn't beat himself up either. And I look at Jack Campbell, and, you know, outside of the first couple of months of last season, where he somehow channeled the spirit and the ghost of Terry Sawchuk and became amongst the elite in the NHL for a couple of months, you know, outside of that, to be kind, it's been very pedestrian performance after very pedestrian performance, to the point where now you're saying to yourself, okay, this is more than just a 1 or 2 month trend. But where it gets really tough, just as a human being here, you know, this is what he's saying publicly. Like, how does he talk to himself afterwards? Like, isn't it painful to you, Reed, watching him talk about himself and beat himself up? Like, if there's anyone in the NHL right now that needs a hug, it's Jack Campbell. And I get it that this is like, oh, okay, this is like, yeah, this is a results-driven business and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know what the answer is here. Like, I understand Elliott's point about, you know, waive him, no one's going to claim, let him find his confidence back in the American Hockey League. Might work. I don't know. Maybe just, you know, you've sort of ceded the number one spot to Stuart Skinner and just, you know, work hard in practice and spell him off when you can. Is that going to work? I don't know. Like, really, I know this doesn't make for a good talk radio, and I apologize for not having a more solid take on this one. I just feel awful for the guy. And I don't know that there's any really obvious, easy answers to fix it, or else he would have done it, the Oilers would have done it, someone would have done something about it.
But I think you don't have to apologize, because I think that in itself is the point. There is nothing else to do except let him practice and play and hopefully grasp it and get whatever help, whether he's talking to the team psychologist or you know, like Skinner. I assume you've heard the stuff from Skinner, that he's read the Ryan Holiday books and he's adopted stoicism. Yep. And he has no ego.
Yep.
Like, who knows, right? I mean, Campbell just has to keep working. They can't trade him. You can't send him down. I don't think you're going to have Pickard on the team playing 40% of the games. Nothing against him.
Nope.
So I think you'd see how this season... Now, if he never grasps it at all this season and Skinner's your goalie in the playoffs and you got to sign him to a new contract, then you got to maybe have a conundrum.
Yep. I'm with you. I think you just got to ride it out and give him whatever help he needs, whether it's technical or whether it's psychological. Because look, like, this isn't a one-year contract, and this isn't $1.5 million. This is a long-term deal at big bucks here. And you're happy that, you know, Jack Campbell has set himself up for life here, but, you know, the performance is, you know, we're all very much left wanting with Jack Campbell. I feel horrible for the guy. I feel bad for the Oilers. I hate seeing, you know, really good work elsewhere being done and then being undone by questionable goaltending. I don't know. This is one of the more miserable situations on the ice in the NHL right now. And you have to be like the ultimate Oilers hater to take any joy in this. This is bad. This is real bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see. I'm pretty sure we'll see Skinner tomorrow. The Oilers didn't practice today, but I don't see why you wouldn't see Skinner tomorrow. And then we go from there. We got to try to do this more often because we're getting a little tight for time already. Now, having said this about Campbell, and Brownie and I were talking about this last night in other games, there have been some games in which he's been totally hung out to dry. Did Sorokin play great against the Oilers and get the shutout? Yes, the three goals Campbell allowed were wide open guys within the hash marks in front of the net, one timing the puck, or one went in off Bouchard. Even the three goals he gave up against the Rangers weren't tough goals. Last night, there's clearly a couple you feel should have been stopped. Your impressions of the Oilers, like, for me, you know, you probably got to beef up the defense at some point. Maybe you try to beef up the bottom six. How do you look at them?
I look at it the same way, and you got to get healthy. I mean, this is a team. Like, I don't want to say I'm stunned, because I shouldn't be, because he's a good player. But they look and play and feel like a much different team without Evander Kane. And, you know, they get a little bit pushed around.
Yep.
Right. Like, I agree with you with, you know, needing, you know, one more defenseman, needing another forward with Snarl. I mean, health is always the wild card here. I just know that they lost a piece of something when Evander Kane got injured. And I don't know if I'd go as far as to say, you know, I don't think that, you know, Edler would have caught McDavid that way if Evander Kane was still in the lineup. But when the other team doesn't even have to think twice about anything, it can really affect your play. I don't think Ken Holland's done. I don't think he should be done. I think this is a team that still has the potential for a very, very long playoff run. And if they get hot and they get the saves, they may do some significant damage. But I think it's still a team that's, no team is perfect. I get that. But this team needs, you know, a little bit more repairs than we thought at the beginning of the season.
Yep. and you know, looking better lately, and a chance to do, despite last night. I mean, they have won three of their last four, and I think an opportunity on this homestead here in a league in
the Chicago game should have kind of been a blowout right away, though, shouldn't it?
Well, they should have had six goals in the first two periods.
Kind of surprised. I'm like, this thing should be over.
It should have been over after two. I'll grant you that.
I'm hanging into this game, and I'm like, I can't turn away because this game is not what it should be right now. But I got to hang around to see what happens.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, Jeff, if I don't talk to
Reed,
you, have a great holiday season. But we got to have you on again because you're an absolute blast. And I'm glad everybody's doing well. And enjoy. I hope there are many more fights to entertain you tonight on TV, not in your neighborhood.
Yeah, Austin Watson just threw down with Barclay Goodrow. So that was a good one, too. So we got some old school in this Rangers-Ottawa game. Hey, listen, Reed, to you, to everyone at the station, your listeners as well, especially those on the text line, keep those rolling in because when I'm waiting on hold, they're fun to listen to. And there's some really creative listeners. Happy holidays to everybody. If I don't get a chance to share the airwaves with Reed again, Merry Christmas to everyone and best in the new year. Yes, we're already wishing people Happy New Year. Oof, that feels weird and early, but there was.
That is Jeff Merrick on Inside Sports on 630 CHED.
Subscribe to the Inside Sports Podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. This is 630 CHED Inside Sports.
Sign up for the podcast, you get a canned ham. 780-496-0063. Jeff Merrick was great, by the way. Love having him on the show. And I found him he's a sensitive man. He was talking about the human side for Jeff Campbell. I mean, it can't be, it can't feel good to be struggling at your job, you know? We'll see how it goes with Campbell. Which fan base annoys you the most and why? And remember, you get bonus points if you make me laugh. Now, I know I'm easy to make laugh, but still. Kellen, are you there? That was your cue to talk.
There.
You made me laugh unintentionally.
Yeah, well, because I got distracted by lights and shiny objects and stuff in here. There's a lot of things to look at in here, Reed.
There's a UFO in Kellen's control room, everybody.
Indeed. Well, let's go to TLC on the text line to...
I guess you could say they creeped on the text line.
There we go.
This text is going to be a red light special.
Yeah, don't go chasing waterfalls, Reed. Stick with the rivers and lakes that you're used to. But anyway... TLC says, Philly Flyers fans haven't evolved since the days the Fog coached them. A Fred Shiro reference tonight for you.
That's pretty good.
Uh-huh. There we go. We got another one in. This is from an unknown text.
By the way, those are the only three TLC songs I know.
Yeah.
Creep, Red Light Special, and Waterfalls. There are probably many more.
No Scrubs?
Oh, was that them?
That was them,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, I know that one.
Yeah. That was TLC. That was a great jam from 1999. Anyway, unknown text coming in says, Vancouver Canucks when Roberto Luongo played with them. Seemed like everyone in the Edmonton Arena would chant Lou, and it was annoying as hell.
That's fair. That's a fair reason. Yeah, there is sort of that. I remember when Nugent Hopkins was a rookie, and I had a buddy, because fans will do the Nuge chant.
Yes.
And a lot of players who have that oo sound in their name, that's what fans will do. And my buddy was extremely annoyed that Oilers fans did that for Nuge. He was like, can we not just copy everybody else? What are they going to do?
I worked those games in Nuge's rookie year here for 630 CHED, and it was a weird dynamic with the Lou's and the Nuge every time Vancouver and Edmonton would play here, for sure, definitely. and we got another one for the Canucks here, another unknown text. It says, Canucks hands down, solely from the fans, worst poor... It says lovers. I think he meant to say losers in sports.
Well, they could be poor lovers as well. I mean, we don't know. Maybe that person knows firsthand.
Right. And he also goes on to add and say, my father that recently passed would wholeheartedly agree, so I get it honestly.
Okay, fair enough.
There we go.
They could be poor lovers. I mean, I asked why. That's you know, maybe that's a valid reason.
Mm-hmm. You don't know. Exactly. It could be a reason like that.
Now we have to play Phil Collins and Philip Bailey, Easy Lover, coming back.
Oh, that is a jam. I like that. WrestleMania 1 from 1985. That was the theme music for the show. It was great.
Oh, my God.
Oh, awesome.
Your wrestling trivia never ceases to amaze me.
And one more from you from, I hope I'm saying the name right, Kaisis. And they put down the Canadian fan base. They are a bit too crazy for hockey. And then they added the eye roll emoji.
Just so. All Canadians with hockey are annoying.
That's it. Exactly.
Well, I assume that's persons living in Canada. Maybe we got somebody listening from another nation, but or a Canadian who isn't a hockey.
No. The little maple leaf pops up on the text line now when you text in from what country you're texting in from.
Yeah. Maybe they are a hockey fan, but still find it too intense. Okay. Well, those are pretty good. 780-496-0063. So the Oilers play the Habs tomorrow. I think the Habs are one of the biggest surprises in the NHL this season. But what about somebody who covers the team? We'll find out next.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.